Saturday, November 9th. Give your broken stuff a second life at this month's Repair Cafe from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Killarney Community Center, located at 6260 Killarney Street. Handy volunteers will help you fix bikes, small appliances, textiles, jewelry, computers, woodwork, anything you can carry in. This is a free event and everyone is welcome. So swing by for some fixing fun. Saturday, November 9th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Killarney Community Center.
Good evening. This is Cop Radio 100.5 FM CFRO. And this show is brought to you by the Soundscape Collective and the Squeaky Chair. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are broadcasting on the unceded territories of the Tsleil-Waututh, Musqueam, and Squamish peoples. Tonight's show is a kind of review of the Vancouver New Music Resonances Festival that ran from the 17th to the 19th. I was very fortunate to be invited to participate, and I was exposed to a number of artists that are new to me and some local favorites as well, who are. And I wanted to bring that to you. Maybe you were not able to attend. Maybe you were unaware of this festival that's been running for many years under the watchful eyes and diligent ears of Giorgio Manganetti, who, along with Vancouver New Music, curates the festival. And it's a very adventurous festival. The New Music Society presents works that are considered new music, and that means a certain thing in a certain crowd, new music as opposed to classical music. And so the new music bridges new music that's not necessarily classical, and so things like chamber music, new compositions, but also very experimental works. And like I said, I was exposed to some new things, and I'm going to share them with you today. So first, I'd like to just play a very short excerpt. This is from Sammy Chen's Weaves, a YouTube clip defining or demonstrating this. This is version 0.3. This is ongoing work that Sammy presents. It's kind of like a dance interactive electroacoustic sound performance. So using Sammy's body, they perform and alter the sound and video that you see. Here's this short 30-second insert.
No matter how much I try to transform this body with the technology, I can't seem to transform this body in reality.
Now, Sammy will also be performing at the Surrey Art Gallery on the 16th of November. It's a Saturday at around noon till 4. Sammy will be in the middle of that programming. And those of you who are regular listeners involved in the sound community, Vancouver might think that that is the annual Sound Thinking Symposium. And you'd be right and wrong at the same time, because the Sound Thinking Symposium has been reframed to include interactive art in general and is looking at interactivity critically. We have a keynote speaker, Beryl, professor from Dartmouth University in the UK, coming out, and she will be giving a keynote and sort of describing the state of interactivity. For my part, I think that interactive art has run its course in that it's not new in any way, just like new music is not new. New media is not new. Since interactivity and new media, we've seen social practices, relational aesthetics. I think more focuses on broader works that are not fixed to media, transdisciplinarity, transmedia artists, etc. And so that gives us a bit of distance now on interactive works, and we'll be reviewing that, especially in the light of a interactive art museum that is planned for Surrey and environs. So do come out to that, both to see Sammy's latest incarnation, version 0.7, I guess it will be, of Weaves, and that's the plug. And right now I'd like to turn to Deciban. This is a work by the French performers CHDH. And I don't know, but I have a suspicion that those are initials. I'm not sure where their name is. In Deciban, a new audio-visual piece by CHDH, hypnotic visuals that resemble snow of an old analog TV are accompanied by their sonic alter ego to propose a new type of synesthetic experience. The noise acquires a structure, a topology, patterns, shape. Shapes emerge, visual sound movements appear. We are invited to lose ourselves in the perception of this world of illusions. In Deciban, phenomena are drowned in noise universe. Noise is information. And if you want to have a look at this, you can go to the newmusic.org resonances site. They have a little Vimeo. Or you could imagine a black and white field that creates banding and moves organically, almost like some kind of mycelial structure, a slime mold or something like that, moving across the screen. And the sound that is being produced uses these things called chaotic oscillators, and I didn't know what they were, and that question came up in the Q&A before the performance. Chaotic oscillator can be thought of, according to the artist, as a kind of pendulum where the pendulum has a complex structure. So imagine a piece of string going back and forwards like like holding a watch or a stone on a string. And then imagine something else, some kind of oscillator being tied to that string so that the original oscillation is not back and forwards, but it has some kind of like jerk or rhythm or arrhythmic wobble to it. And then you could add another one and another one, and thus you build up a set of oscillators that still move back and forwards, but don't do that at a simple period. Rather, there's a varying period. And so you're getting a waveform that has lots of harmonics, lots of partials, lots of sidebands, and is noisy. Let's take a listen now to Deciban. This is about a 3-minute excerpt from this Vimeo that you can see. I'll also put it on furyscreencloud.com/cutandrun along with the track listing as usual. What was fascinating about this piece is how it stayed in this sort of muscular, evolving, atonal space, but continued to draw you in with the sort of power and slow evolution. So it very rarely became full-on noise, but was never approaching any tonality either. I highly recommend getting to go see that if you can.
The Kulch and Vancouver Asian Canadian Theatre are thrilled to present Kuroko, a world premiere from renowned playwright Tetsuro Shigematsu, at the Kulch Historic Theatre, November 6th to 17th. Hiroshi only has 1 year left to live. During that time, he must somehow get his daughter Maya to leave her bedroom, something that hasn't happened in over half a decade. Maya is an extreme recluse who has spent the last 6 years in her bedroom exploring virtual reality, until one day, she meets a mysterious player online who challenges her to the ultimate quest, saving her own father's life. How? By visiting the scariest place in real life, Suicide Forest. For tickets, visit tickets.thekulch.com.
Atuka Kanaka. Kanaka, yes. This is a piece called Le Loop Lifting and Myogram. So when we saw this piece, the artist who performed on Saturday night, he wore a simple white t-shirt and blue or black jeans, I'm not sure, and on his wrists, sort of three quarters of the way between the wrist and the elbow, he had these black, what looked like arm bands, those kind of things they wear in Western movies where they have to hold up their shirts. So I don't know what those things do. Hold up their sleeves to prevent them getting dirty from, I guess, ink or something. Anyway, so it looked like that, but less ornamental, more techie, just these black bands. And the artist was moving their hands in these gestures in front of us, and the gestures were controlling the soundscape that we were witnessing. The soundscape was again composed mostly of noises, or at one point there was a distinctive breakbeat that was being modulated, altered, and chopped up by the performance. While the arms and hands seemed to be the focus of the interaction, the source of the modulations of the max patch that the artist was using as an instrument, the range of expression wasn't limited only to the hands. His body and face and ligaments on the side of the neck were also protruding, and in a very evocative display of yearning, and but also small movements, small investigations at some point to see how their hands would alter the sounds. Felt like the artist was using a vocabulary of movements as well as developing them. At the panel, the artist had spoken about how he has used AI to read his gestures, but that he doesn't have a big enough data set to train it adequately. So he's using more traditional mechanisms of interpreting the performance and the gestures to create the sonic work. So here then is an excerpt of Atuna Katana, The Loop Lifting and Myogram.
Thank you.
Thank you. No. Hi, welcome back. This is 100.5 FM CFRO Co-op Radio. You're listening to The Soundscape. My name is Brady Marks. And that was the sounds of Atu Tanaka, Concrete Corpse. Concrete Corpse is a piece created for performer and biomuse, a bioelectrical interface as musical instrument. Biomuse's senses interface captures electromyogram, EMG, biosignals that reflect dynamic muscle tensions. Biomedical electrodes make electrical contact with the skin, detecting electrical impulses of neurons as the brain commands voluntary muscle contractions. The biomuse amplifies and converts these microvoltages and transmits them as the information that is manipulated. Live by Tanaka, who creates mappings that shape and scale, sculpt the sound. A nice long excerpt there. I'd like to play you a shorter excerpt of a piece called Speculative Communication. And it's also a very interesting piece because of how it functions conceptually. It's a sonification of bacterial movement or indirectly through video. So the artists, artists from Mexico City, they grew these bacteria in a culture dish and then shot video of it and then used deep learning or machine learning or AI, whichever one you want to call. They're all pretty much the same thing right now. And tracked various aspects of this organism and then sonified it and kind of performed or collaborated with it. They didn't actually bring the bacterium with them because they can't fly with it legally, even though we have all the gut bacteria and all the bacteria you would ever need in your stomach. And you can fly with your stomach, so strange, right? They did bring the data, and one of the aspects is that because bacteria grows quite slowly, it is sped up a little bit. So they're almost doing slow motion video and then sped up to regular time. Again, this has a sort of muscular evolving quality similar to the Deciban, whereas the Deciban was completely synthetic. This is a sort of tracking, an analog, synthetic analog of a real phenomenon, a living life form. It was interesting because they looked similar at times, sounded quite similar in mood, although I find this performance a bit more musical and actually ended with a bit of a beat. It goes something like this.
Thank you.
So that's an excerpt of Interspecifics by, actually the artists are Leslie Garcia and Paloma Lopez from Mexico City. Their group, or the two of them combined, is called Interspecifics, and the piece is called Speculative Communications. I'll read the little blurb, it's good. Interspecifics is a multi-species nomad collective and independent art research bureau founded in Mexico City in 2013. Their research uses sound and artificial intelligence to understand the bioelectrical and chemical signals of different organisms and their geometrical patterns as non-human form of communication. For this purpose, they've developed a collection of experimental research and education tools they call ontological machines. Their work is deeply shaped by the Latin American context, where precarity enables new forms of creativity and ancient technologies to meet cutting-edge forms of production, always looking for the most suitable way to produce in terms of social inclusion, cross-disciplinary practices, and open knowledge. They use a lot of hackery techniques, a lot of open source tools. A very cool duo, and it was a pleasure to meet them. Okay, it's 2019 to the hour. According to Noir will be joining us in a little bit. And I would like to play this excerpt of Everything I Say Is True by Kite. This was the sort of closer to the evening and closer to the Saturday night. Kite is Kite with Elsa Torn. So when you viewed the stage here, you saw two women performing with one with a cello, one with a harp, a very large harp, and a pedal board, and the other performer using voice. And that's Kite, and also performing a sort of theatrical dance with a narration and accompaniment with and video. And the one detail that struck me as very significant was that her skirt was made out of these, it was a gray skirt with a like a pleated edge all the way around, and words on it, and the words were and the shape of the skirt was later reflected in the video as the form of a light cone, a light cone being the idea that light travels at the speed of light, but the idea is that a light cone, that since nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, that there's a sort of cone of a sphere expanding into the universe at the speed of light, and that is the largest sphere of influence that any creature, object, will ever have in this universe. You can never go beyond that. So it's like this cone that's spreading out in all directions, and it's a cone because time is one of the dimensions, and then the sort of radius of that effect is on the other dimension, so you get this cone. And that's quite a poetic idea, because it creates a sort of boundary in space that we always think of as infinite, and a limit on a sort of lifetime limit to any phenomenon, whether that's a spark or a implosion of some sorts. So, yeah, so like the limits of space-time that you could ever affect. It doesn't mean there's not something out there, but you can never reach it. And I think in this time of expanding, what did Greta call it? Fantasies of perpetual economic growth. It's nice to know that we do have a limit, according to physics at least. Okay, here it is. So the skirt was literally a cone, and then it was reflected in the videos again. So is about a 5-minute exit. Everything I say is true. It was an excerpt of Everything I Say Is True by Kite. Kite or Suzanne Kite is a Southern Californian based Oglala Lakota artist, and the performance constructs a simple, complex narrative, through the use of her own family's ephemera and historical documents, as well as through her new body of work in various mediums, including video, sound, and sculpture. Everything I Say Is True considers complex truths in relation to the Oglala Lakota knowledge systems. What didn't come through with that recording was the sort of narrative base. There was a lot of just narration on top, and it involved, as the piece said, personal perspectives, but perspectives on science, perspectives on territory, boundaries, historical facts versus records, and concluded with a magic trick. It challenged us to accept one person's story as less or more true than another's, and ask us how we prioritize or how we create hierarchies of knowledge. I found it very powerful indeed. Opening the entire festival was an artist named Linda Bouchard. I wasn't able to find documentation of the specific work that they presented. It was Linda Bouchard and a ensemble of local improvisers, very talented folks. But I did find a piece that's a bit spooky, so it goes well with the season and the evening that it is tonight. This is Linda Bouchard's composition, Colores Ultravioladores, Ultraviolets, I can roughly say. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm going to run off on this tune, well, not literally. I do thank you for joining us here, and I would like to ask you, if you do have a few jingle jangles in your pocket, could you give them to Co-op Radio? Go off to co-opradio.org and give us a little donation. It sure keeps the lights on here. This radio station is member-driven, member-supported, and do say that the Soundscape Show is a favorite of yours, if it is. I'm not asking you to lie, but if you're here, it is. You can also support me on Patreon, where I publish these and my collaborators' shows, and that means you'll get them as a podcast direct to your inbox and players and your web pages. And you can find that link on our website at fearscreencloud.com/cut-and-run. Okay, that's it for me. Enjoy the spooky 6 minutes.
London.